Red Dead Redemption, Fortnite, Dark Souls. If you know what these are, then you may be interested to know that a recent study published by Britain's Royal Society of Open Science has concluded that there is no evidence that playing violent video games causes an increase in aggressive behaviour in real life. However, the matter is far from closed, as several other studies have found that there is a link. We'll debate it in a moment, but first, I asked adult video gamers in Dublin if they thought violent games could make players more aggressive.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. Games don't make people violent. If anything, they help people blow off steam. So if someone is inclined to carry out violence, games aren't going to change anything. If they're not inclined to carry out violence, games won't make them.
When you hear that that might be a cause of aggression, what do you think?
Yes, it can be.
Perhaps. But we are not sure. It depends on the education of children. The parents are responsible for all this, I think. Don't you think so?
Do you think that they could cause aggressive behaviour because of the violent content?
I strongly believe no.
Yeah, me neither.
It's
not the purpose of the game. It's actually not the purpose of the game. You have challenges that you have to overcome in spite of every storyline of the game, even if you have to like shoot other characters or stuff like that. Is something that you would do even if you had a board game.
For kids, that's a responsibility of the parents. Those video games aren't meant for children under the age of 18, let's say, and there's very clear ratings associated with that. The checks are there, but they aren't being enforced enough, I'd say.
Some views there from video gamers. Steve Pope, a Lancashire-based psychotherapist, believes increasingly violent behaviour from people is linked to playing video games, while Mark Smith, president-elect of the Psychological Society of Ireland, disagrees. I spoke to them both before coming on air about this new study into video gaming and aggression. I first asked Steve Pope to describe what he's seeing in his own practice.
What I see as a frontline psychotherapist, addiction counsellor, is the silent epidemic is now breaking out into a full-blown, talked-about epidemic where children are becoming embroiled into various violent games, whether it be Call of Duty, whether it be Fortnite. And what we see is a child where you reach to take the controller off the child. It's rather like taking a bottle of whiskey off the alcoholic. It manifests itself in the same way, and it's disrupting lives. And I always look for violence, certainly, as being one of the symptoms. And, you know, we've had children who've smashed up PlayStations, Xboxes. We see children who smash up parents, siblings. We see children who go out and think that violence, because it's played on a game, that virtual reality becomes a reality. And we're seeing it right across the board. And, you know, I'm not in any way saying that we can stop game stations, and I think it's just part of our culture now, but certainly what we need to do is educate parents about the potential consequences. I don't think parents would let children go upstairs with a bottle of vodka and leave them for hours unsupervised, and as to why we think we can do the same with, you know, with the game stations is beyond me. But the level of violence we're seeing, it is, you know, I know there's this report that says there isn't any connection, but I just wonder then, as a man that hopes he has some common sense, as to why it's spiraling as it is spiraling.
Okay, let me bring in Mark Smith here. Mark, you're with the Psychological Society of Ireland. Do you back the view that there's any evidence of a link between video gaming and aggressive behaviour?
Absolutely not. And I suppose this is one study that has replicated what we've seen for the last 20 years in terms of evidence. And I suppose I have the benefit of both being a clinician, like Steve, working frontline with kids, but also being interested in the actual evidence. What we've seen is the US Supreme Court, the UK government, the Swedish government, the Australian government have all investigated this. There is no link between playing violent video games and aggression in real life. But back to Steve's point around, you know, he's seen that kids get aggressive at the end of playing a game. if you think of a child who's in a supermarket and looks for a chocolate bar and mummy or daddy says no and they kick them on the shin, it isn't the chocolate bar's fault. If a child is told you have to come in at 6 o'clock and they get annoyed and they get aggressive because mummy or daddy put in a boundary, it's not being outside's fault. It's the boundary that has caused them to react in that way.
So you're saying it's not the video game that's causing that bit of aggression that we see at the end of the 20 minutes. It's the fact that the fun is
the
over.
The boundary has put it in. And look, we have seen this moral panic for many, many years. It used to be about movies, about the Karate Kid, that we'd all go outside and start beating people up. It didn't happen. The evidence isn't there to substantiate these claims.
But there is some evidence there. In 2015, the American Psychological Association report said that violent video gameplay is linked to increased aggression in players, but insufficient evidence to show whether this extends to criminal violence. Again, last year, the proceedings of the National Academy of Science in America looked at 17,000 adolescents between 9 and 19 and found again that playing violent video games led to increased aggression over time. So these reports, there is no conclusion. They do disagree.
They do disagree. And there's a large subsection of the American Psychological Association who disagree with the professional body with that. So what we have found is that there have been some studies that if you already have aggressive thoughts playing these games, you might have aggressive thoughts afterwards for 4 to 6 minutes post-gameplay. And that's the extent of it. So that research isn't there to do it. So those research from the APA has been widely criticised. But we also need to look at statistics and facts. So we know that playing violent video games is high base rate behaviour. Millions and millions of children do it. What we see in the States is that there's been an 80% decrease in violence by young people during the time those games have been played. So there isn't a real world connection. If you find a small statistical significance, it doesn't mean that that translates into real world behaviour. We also underestimate children, okay? So when children play a game, they understand it's a game. So the reality and the step between seeing and like Steve said, stabbing somebody in Call of Duty.
But do they understand it's a game?
Of course they understand it's a game. They don't come out afterwards and start beating people up and stabbing people. But we get into big moral panics. We ignore the realities of what actually is connected to violence. So the things that we know are poverty, being exposed to domestic violence. These are factors that we know, but people want nice and simple causal explanations for A cause B. Unfortunately, the reality isn't true and the evidence doesn't back that up.
Steve, I suppose it is true that your patients would have other factors that could be contributing to their aggressive behaviour, be that family issues or anxiety. Is it therefore possible to pinpoint playing violent video games as a cause?
It's part of the culture that we now live in. The whole culture is one of increasing violence. Constantly playing games of violence, that becomes the child's reality. That's their role model. People used to smoke cigarettes because they saw other people smoking cigarettes. It becomes an acceptable behavior. And I'm not saying everybody plays a game and then goes out and commits violence. What I'm saying, to your listening audience and to yourselves, is that if a child plays and watches violence all the time on a screen, the next step is that thought becomes the belief that becomes the reality. It's a process that I'm sure my learned colleague will know happens, in that if they're constantly exposed to violence, it could be violence in the home, it could be violence on the screen, and we might be in a more violent world, but that whole thing is part of the process of children becoming more accepting of violence, of being a way of life. That's why we've got knife crime on the increase. That's why we've got the whole behavioural cycle of violence on the increase. And we have to make children aware and parents aware that consistently playing violent games, in my humble opinion, what I see day in, day out and treating these kids, it makes that way of life acceptable.
Mark Smith, isn't part of the problem here that a lot of these video games are designed for over 18s, yet they're being played by children as young as 7?
Sure, and that's one of the things where I will agree with Steve, is that we do need to provide more education for parents about the fact that those ratings are there. I have 3 small kids myself. Would I allow my 7-year-old to go watch an 18s movie in the cinema? No, because that's the guide that's there for the parent to support them, that it's inappropriate content. So we need to educate parents that these are there and help them to adhere to that. Just one point to pick up on in terms of kind of, we hear this a lot about, well, it's common sense. We can't make public policy based on common sense. We have to make it based on evidence. And what the evidence says is very, very clear. Common sense, anybody can say we believe there's a link between this, but unless there's clear evidence to back that up, then we can't substantiate that claim.
Are some people more susceptible to, say, violent thoughts or behaviours than others? And does that come into this?
Of course. We'll all have different experiences, especially people who come from backgrounds of trauma, from adverse experiences, from, like Steve said, witnessing violence in the home. They are exposed to it, so it does become something that they think about more.
So is it down to parental responsibility then, Steve Pope? Don't allow your children on these games in the first place, or if you do, make sure you know what they're playing.
Exactly. We have to educate ourselves as parents as to the whole IT procedure. You know, my 9-year-old daughter can tell me more about an Apple iPhone than I could ever believe to imagine it could do. These kids are savvy in the whole world of IT. We have to monitor what they play. We want to monitor how long they play it for. And we have to look at the whole thing about how we can get children to stand back and say, well, violence is not acceptable.
Mark Smith, a lot of people use this for enjoyment. Are there not some benefits, I suppose, to playing video games such as socializing, where you can play with others online? There are some benefits as well, aren't there?
Absolutely. And we see that for young people in particular who struggle with social connection. So one of the things that has changed with technology is that when they're playing these games, they rarely play them alone anymore. When a new game comes out, they don't play single player. They play online in the community. They play with their friends in school. They talk, they chat, they interact during it. So it has become much more socialized than it was in the past. It's much less of a solitary activity.
And that was Mark Smith, President-elect of the Irish Psychological Society, and Steve Pope, a psychotherapist based in Lancashire.